And then the other reason I'm here, it's the end of this module, and we have a little practice at the Kadampa Sanctuary at the end of the module, because we really cherish the opportunity to have the teachings and the opportunity to have people who are qualified to lead us through this, through the modules, and really lucky to have a community to come and take the classes with us. And so we always like to show a little bit of appreciation for our teachers. It's a practice that is not only beneficial to the center, but it's, you know, karmically, when you support the teachings, then you're creating the cause to have the teachings continue. So we want that for all of us in our own lives, but of course we want it for us as a community here at Kadampa Center, a spiritual community. So with all that in mind and with great appreciation, Hemant.
Offering for you. Thank you.
And I will practice the first part.
Thank you. All right. Y'all have a good time. Oh, and since I'm on the board, I guess one of my duties is to remind you, and we kind of mentioned this here, that everything we do at Kadampa Center, we do offer without asking you to pay to attend, because the teachings are so precious. And again, it's part of that same mode of not only the teachings are precious, but by offering the teachings, we're creating the causes to continue to have the teachings. And so if you feel that what Hemant and this class has offered has been valuable to you, and with Hemant teaching, it's got to be. Anyway, if it's been valuable to you, anything that you might want to offer in support of the class would be greatly appreciated, and you can do that in the bookstore, in the little box right outside the door, online, and apparently you can even text donations, but I'm a little bit of a Luddite when it comes to that. So thanks, and have a great class.
Thank you, Donna. All right, couple more. This is the last class in the Establishing a Daily Practice module. So we are on a 2-week break after this class tonight for Discovering Buddhism. So we'll skip next week. But the next week of Monday, on the 24th, is a Guru Puja, in which we'll be honoring the co-founders of the FPMT. That's the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition. And that would be Lama Yeshe, pictured up here on the left, and then Lama Zopa Rinpoche over there on the right. And so that is going to be Monday the 24th from 7 to 8:30, so same time as our normal Discovering Buddhism class. So come to that if you'd like to. It's another way to make that connection with teachers and to basically honor them. Oh, and it happens to be on Losar. That was the other thing I was going to mention. So Losar is Tibetan New Year. So, you know, it's like double whammy in merit and everything. So come and practice. Also, we have Lamrim Topics continuing with Geshe-la on Wednesday nights. That's from 7 to 8:30. And then, as Donna mentioned, the Tara practice this Saturday from 1 to 3. Again, set up, I think she said, was Friday at 10:30, if you can make that as well. And I think that's it. Don't forget to put your cell phones on silent.
Is it on? Yeah, it's loud. Okay. Well, we'll start by first. I like to start today. It's the last module of the 6 weeks that we've been, this is the 6th week of Establishing a Daily Practice, which is module number 8. The next module will be Refuge. The good news is today we're just going to give you a quick overview and make sure that everybody is connecting the dots in the purpose of this class. So you get a good overview of everything today. And I have some tools at the end. I may even ask some questions to make sure that you understand the topics if you've been attending. You know, and let's see where we go from there. And I'd like to start by thanking the lineage teachers, obviously Geshe-la, Geshe Sangpo, and Linda. You know, it's amazing to come to a place and somebody's, the door is open already, the chair is set in place, the cushions are in place. It's very noticeable, so thank you for all the help you give. and of course all the advanced DB teachers from whom I have learned also. Some are here, some are not here. But slowly everybody, and there are some teachers sitting here making. So I want to thank everybody, and I also want to thank you. Because of you, it makes me look into this even more deeper. So it helps me a lot. So thank you for coming to the class. So you should rejoice that you put up with me for the last 5 classes. And hopefully this is the last one. You get a 2-week break. So with that in mind, we'll do a quick calm-abiding meditation. It is just to neutralize your mind again from the excitement of the work, the day, driving here, or if it is dull from sitting all day in the house, then you want to get it up, your energy up. So, and then we'll set the motivation, okay? So just bring your mind and body to this place, okay, with your spine straight. As we begin to bring more energy into the body and mind, make sure your spine is straight again and take few deep breaths and just release the energy freely. Just make sure you don't cling on to any particular thought. Just observe them and let them go. And bring your focus back to your breath. Just do it for about a minute. So let's set our motivation. Let's invite Shakyamuni Buddha's presence to this place. Seeing his very radiating golden light body and feel the whole room pervaded by the golden light. Our mind and body are also illuminated by this golden light. It passes completely through us, bringing illumination to the entire space. Just bathe in the presence of the golden, radiating, energized wisdom light. Now call to your mind our wish to take advantage of the life that we have, to develop qualities, and to be free of any impurities, any obscurations, any suffering, and remembering our wish for freedom, peace, and wisdom energy. and especially call to mind others whom we want to help, the kinds of suffering that we would like to stop, the kind of world that we would like to create, and take responsibility to use our life's energy to do exactly that. Also invite our teachers in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha here in this place to continue to bless our mind as we receive these teachings, that we may be able to hear exactly what we need to hear at this point in our practice, and that we may be able to put it into practice and in exactly in the manner in which it is intended to benefit all. Again, have a very clear picture of Shakyamuni Buddha, and we'll keep Shakyamuni Buddha in our minds, and we'll continue where we left off when we return at the end of this session today. So have a good visual feeling of Shakyamuni Buddha and that golden light, and just we'll continue with the teachings and we'll bring him back again there after we finish our class, at the end of the class. Thank you. Okay, so for the last five classes we went through a lot of details, and for those that have not attended the class, it's good to be in this class as well, because we'll summarize it. Hopefully you'll get something out of it. Okay. So again, the whole purpose of this module, establishing the daily practice. I hope you walk away from this class knowing that it's not only cushion time. The practice is not on Sunday at 8 o'clock in the morning, or on Wednesday nights, or once in a while. The whole idea of practice is integrating Dharma into our mind 24 hours every day. Right? That's the whole idea, is to change all the chatter we have in our mind all the time. You think about your work day, you think about the things that happen during the day, and how you cling on to those thoughts, and how we defend ourselves, how we, you know, the way we behave ourselves, and automatically some trigger, and it's there. The idea of practice is you work slowly and steadily to change that. Okay? That's the whole point. And why? You should remember we started by saying you should question. Buddha himself said, if you read it, check it out. Okay? And we'll give you an example of how in Tibet they check the gold, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But again, question it. It's perfectly fine. Some things may not make sense right away, and you ask why. And then later on, you may find the answer, or you may decide that's not where you want to go. But anyways, you'll find some logic in it. And it's always something that our mind sometimes can't even fathom. But Buddha thought way ahead of time. Okay? So that's the whole point. And remember the precious human rebirth. There are many beings and sentient beings walking around. It makes precious because you met the Dharma. And what is Dharma? Something that holds you back from suffering, falling down. That's all it is. It is not a label that says, oh, I am a Buddhist, oh, I am so and so. That doesn't make any difference if your behavior is not right. Right? It doesn't matter. But to say that I am following the path, it's the path or the teachings of Buddha, then you are learning and you are integrating Dharma and you're hopefully seriously considering looking at things from a virtuous actions, being kind and compassionate, all the things we talked about. Okay? And we want to create these virtuous actions of body, speech, and mind. If you've taken the karma classes, they talk about the karma of body, speech, and mind as typical body virtuous actions, thou shalt not kill and steal and all those things, but also mind and body, right? So, and why you want to create these merits? You're just putting merit into your bank balance, remember that. Because you are working towards your future state of life. Okay? Also, I want to talk about that when you do these things, keep in mind, this is not like the holier-than-thou feeling. It is very pragmatic, it's very logical, and you need to do it with joyful effort. Not like a burden, oh, it's coming, I gotta do my mantras, I better not watch that show tonight. Oscars were on last night, so I can't do my mantras tonight. You gotta work that out so you can balance it and do it with fun, do it with joy. Remember, you're doing something to create happiness for future. This is not about a burden on your mind. Okay, so a lot of times, a lot of these things fall into like, oh, I gotta do this, oh, well, you know what, I'll do that at 8 o'clock. You know, that kind of things. Keep it flowing nice and easy. Like we did today in the meditation, we left Buddha over there. If you were to close your mind right now, and if you really had a good visual, you can close your mind and it's still there. Because you put that seed into your mind, you made an effort. Same way. Keep the Dharma flowing nice and easy. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to go on vacations and have fun. Nobody's talking about stop everything and now you gotta just like shave your head and sit down. Nothing like that. Very pragmatic. Buddha was very smart. He made lay vows. He didn't give everybody the same vows. All his goal is that you become happy and your goal should be for you to become Buddha. So what you do in your bank balance is up to you, not to somebody else. It's not up to anybody else but you. And again, talking about joyful effort, do it with conviction and faith. That word faith itself is questionable because it means different things to different people, right? So let's talk about what makes faith. There are four types of faith in according to our teachings. One is the faith of inspiration. Okay? You look at His Holiness and He says, you just feel wow. You see the stadium of probably 5, 6, 7, 10,000 people sitting and He just comes up and He just feels like wow. That's inspiration. Okay? The second piece is aspiration. Faith of aspiration. You know, what would it be like to be like Him? That's a faith of aspiration. Then there's a faith of engagement. You are really feeling good about this, and now you do activities so you can get closer to that. For Kadampa Center, for example, you want to talk to Geshe-la. Oh, maybe I can give him a ride. Maybe I can find a little time on a Sunday and meet with him for a few minutes. And then you work towards it. You find out who will do it, how can I make it happen, and eventually it happens. Right? That's called faith of engagement. You yourself have opened the doors for it to happen. And in the end, it's the faith of conviction. When your experience is good, when you are convinced that this is a good thing, this becomes your experience. Then you have conviction. This is good. I gotta do this. Right? So think in those terms, guys. This is not a pressure. This is not converting anybody. This is not changing anybody. Live your life happy. But these are certain things and practices. These are tools to change your mind in a positive side so that when the time comes to end this samsaric life, you have no fear. And you put the seeds in your mind that will eventually take you to a better state of mind, or if you want to call it a realm, or you want to call it the next life, whatever it is. And like Geshe-la says, even if you don't have faith in it, what have you lost? You were just a kind person, right? But it's nice not to have fear, because you know that the life continues. And what Buddha has taught is in your system. So the thoughts at that time is not of, oh my God, what will happen to my house? What will happen to my car? Just pass on very nicely. So think why this practice is important. This is why you establish daily practice. So you're working, it's an exercise program for those who want to make muscles, but this is an exercise program for your mind. Okay? Alright. Talking about, you know, in Tibet, when they buy gold, they check it out by burning it, cutting it, and rubbing it to make sure it's real gold. It's not just superficially gold and something else inside, a different alloy. It's the same way with anything you read, or in Lamrim or Buddha's teaching. You want to experience it, and experience is compared to like burning the gold in the fire. Check it out and see if you experience it. Number two, you analyze it. We talk about that all the time. Analyze it. Right? Analyzing it is like cutting the gold to make sure it's really gold inside. And last, you rub it. It's like, do some comparison. Look what Lamrim says, what something else says. You're checking with Geshe La, you're coming to the class. Kind of sense if it's all jiving to you. It makes sense to you. Right? Then you make it your experience. Okay? So those are things you need to, it should make logical sense to you, and it should be in harmony with the teachings of your direct experience, for example. And also, you have a faith because you have faith in others who you respect. For example, in my case, if Geshe La or Kensho Rinpoche, they do certain things, I have 100% faith that they are on the right, they are doing the right thing. You know, checked it out many, many times, and so, I don't have to doubt it. Then I'm convinced. It's my way. You have to find your own. Okay? So that's why we do practice. I wanted to make sure that you walk away knowing that it's not only sitting down for 15 minutes on a cushion and you've done your practice and you're going to be enlightened. It doesn't work like that. You have to work at it. I showed this a couple of classes back. And I think it's important. You know, there are topics in Lamrim sometimes that doesn't connect. Like for me, personally, it is when we talk about the realms. Somehow I want to pass over it, go to the next subject. The this realm and that realm. However, you can do some analogy. So if you're thinking about it, so look at the statement Chandrakirti is making, how wonderful it is. Anytime you have freedom, and your state is favorable, your life, your human birth right now. If you don't take advantage and lose your freedom by falling into the lower realms, who will then raise you again? You have to raise yourself. So this is an opportunity. And that's why this is an important class. We talked about this is where rubber hits the road. So you learn a lot of philosophy, you read a lot of books, but you gotta do something with it. This is where it hits. And when you're talking about this realms, you know how I look at it? I look at the fires in Australia. How many millions of sentient beings died? How many people lost their homes? How many people passed away? That was just like a lower realm to me. Okay? Or you can think about there are governments right now in Middle East gassing their own people. You think about it. You're sitting in your home and you can't breathe. That's like a lower realm. And then think about places where there's no water, no food. To me that's like a realm. So I put my analogy that way. I don't think of dimensions and all that. I literally look at it that it can happen anywhere. You could be born in that place. So here's again the point is, when you do your practice, you are continuously changing your mind to make it positive. You're putting the seeds so that when your karma ripens, you are in a better state, hopefully a human realm again, so you can continue the practice till you become Buddha, or you can be enlightened in this life. Right? That's the goal. So as I said again, It's more than sitting down and doing the practice. So let's talk about things we went through. So your practice begins when you go to sleep at night. Right? We talked about how to lay down like a Buddha, put your head mentally, visualize you sleeping in the lap of your teacher or guru or your Buddha or Tara, you know, whatever your practice is, okay? And you go to sleep like saying, let my sorrows pass. Right? That's a great way. Now you wake up, you go to sleep, you're practicing also in dream. They said that dream state is very similar to a subtle state of mind when you're going through the end of life. Very similar to that. So if you can control and manage your dreams also. So if you sleep with some positive thoughts, a beautiful visualization, and then what happens is it carries on to the sleep and you can manage that sometimes in your sleep. It's a wonderful way to practice also. And then when you wake up in the morning, you have your practices. So we start with a morning session with your preliminary and preparatory practices. We'll cover it in a minute. We'll cover some bodhicitta phrases during the day, things that make the positive thoughts re-enter your mind. Typically, we have a lot of negative thoughts. Somebody says something, you know, what did he mean by that? Goes to the opposite end real quick. What does he want? What does she want? Right? We go to that kind of thinking. This is turning that around. It's all in your mind. It doesn't matter what that other person says. You can be smart. You can understand where that may be coming from. But that is their problem, not your problem. So you're always working on your mind. And we'll talk about some wonderful phrases that Lama Zopa Rinpoche has given us. Then obviously we talked about yoga of work. So for those people who go to work, it's very important to know that if you have a job, you can continue your practice. You may find out, you may learn about, go deep into it. Like when you go in a meeting and you say something and nobody seems to listen to you, maybe you can contemplate, what karma did I have? I must have really shut down so many people. Maybe I was a little belligerent, you know? Maybe that's the reason. It's not a poor me. Look at me. You know? Or it seems like, you know, I had that conversation with you, Alex, when we were visiting. I said, it seems like sometimes this hardship comes before something good happens. Like you gotta work your tail off before something little good happens. And the conversation was, maybe everybody's going through that. Maybe everybody thinks that way. But then you think that it is in your mind. Really. You can turn that around. When you send those emails, in retributive emails or something, you want to just kind of be like, what do you mean by that, you know? Take it easy. I walk away. Then I come back, turn it around. Hey, can we pick up a phone and just talk? It would be wonderful, and thank them. And all of a sudden, the whole tone changes. So there are small things you can do. Not everything fits the mold. But what I'm saying is, you can practice. You can go deeper in your mind and see how you can bring your practice with you. And so all day long, you're continuously kind of floating with these thoughts in your mind. So your practice continues during the day. Okay, then you, of course, yoga of eating. How many times do you take that little popcorn and put it in the mouth? We don't offer them. You can practice even that little popcorn. And remember yoga of eating? For simplistic terms, you can say Om Ahum, body, speech, and mind. You visualize all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, or your teachers, or Buddha, and like a electricity, you can beautiful light coming through the food and purifying it, right? Then you offer it to your teacher and say, please help me, make a heartfelt request, stay with me. And then that food, say, is putting to nourish all these sentient beings in your body. Okay, don't make your body a solid thing. Just know it's there. And it's nourishing it. Even that, what you're doing is you're changing your mind. Even food becomes great. The thought, even prior to eating, you're thinking about teachings. You're thinking about Buddha. You're thinking about pure light. All these thoughts are piling in your mind subconsciously. And slowly and steadily changing you in a good way, right? That's what we are doing, practicing. So even food yoga, before you eat today, I was eating something, put it right in my mouth and came right out. I said, oh my goodness, I didn't offer it. Right? It happens. But now I think about it all the time. And if you really want to learn, learn the cloud mantra. The cloud mantra is a little long mantra. It's a wonderful mantra, and all I remember is reading Lama Zopa Rinpoche saying, if you offer a cloud mantra, it is like offering the sand pebbles, as many sand pebbles on a Pacific beach, ocean beach, to Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That's how powerful it is. To me, that means that many sand pebbles, positive pebbles and seeds are going in my head every time I say it. Now, just even that thought makes it truthful for my mind. So these are tools that they've given you. These mantras mean a lot. Believe me, they're not just mere words. Okay? So think about that. We talked about actions of virtue, we'll talk about it. Right? Actions of virtue can be kind to people. If you've taken something, give it back, say sorry. If you were harsh to somebody, reconcile. If nothing, at least stay quiet. Don't fight, don't argue. This is not to say you have to be a doormat. Sometimes people take this into, you become so kind that people can walk over you. That's not what we are saying, right? You can refrain, you can walk away, you can also say no, sorry. But that's not with anger in your mind. That's the practice. You see right and wrong with your own view and say you don't want to participate. You don't give permission for that negativity to come in your own mind. You give that permission. But if you cling on to that and then reciprocate in the same way, now like Geshe-la says, now you have two crazy people. Right? So think in those terms, okay? And obviously closing practices, Lama Zopa Rinpoche talks about, and then we go to yoga of sleeping. So let's talk about some bodhicitta phrases. These are fun ones. Oh, you know, I forgot to mention something. So before we go there, you know, obviously in the morning we also have morning practices, right? You get up in the morning and you set the motivation according to the advice. And we'll look at those advice very quickly. But there are a couple of ways to do it, right? Nothing is like you must do this, then you must do that. No. They've given you a nice tour, a nice flow. You make certain options. Some people can't even open their eyes unless they have a cup of coffee. That's up to you. But it's sometimes nice to be able to get up and your mind directly goes to, how can I expand my mind? How can I develop bodhicitta? It's a tough one to develop bodhicitta first thing in the morning. But that's what he advises. So I found this particular motivation that Lama Zopa Rinpoche mentions. It's a little wordy, but there are some very key points in it, and I'll read it. It says in the morning, how extremely lucky I am that I have not died yet. I'm especially lucky that my death did not occur last night. Consequently, how wonderful and fortunate it is that today I am still a human being, a state that is extremely rare. But this is not all. I have a perfect human body, which is also extremely rare. I have met the virtuous friend who reveals the unmistakable complete path to enlightenment, who is extremely difficult to meet, and I have met the Buddha Dharma, which is also extremely difficult to meet. Given that I have met all of these extraordinary fortunate circumstances, I should not waste my life in any way. I should make my life as useful as possible for infinite other sentient beings. Their peace and happiness depends upon me, and my happiness is only received from their kindness. Insofar as my life fulfills the greatest usefulness for other sentient beings, it becomes the means to achieve success and happiness for myself as well. I'm going to kind of post this. So I read this more often. It kind of covers a nice little ground for bodhicitta, positive thinking, thinking about you're still alive, you have a human rebirth, helping others. So, some motivation. And then obviously after that, you can have your toast, you can do the food offerings, take your shower. Then if you decide you want to do meditation at that point, then you know the preparatory practices you must go through. Your preliminary practices, your preparatory practices, offering the mandala. And then when you go to work, you know, you can put your little lamrim glasses, invisible ones, and kind of look at the world from that perspective. Just work on it a little bit. See how things are. You know what I do? I saw some movie where things kind of go in, become a dust. This person has a superpower, and when they look at something, everything just kind of vanishes. Okay? And so I kind of thought about that everything is kind of like that. When we die, we become dust. You look at any car, house, what will happen at one day? That will be gone just like powder. So it kind of brings me to emptiness sometimes, which is again a required meditation. At least once a day, must think about guru devotion and a little bit of emptiness. Okay? Little bit of thought, what is it? What is ultimate reality? So we'll talk about that in a minute. And then you can weave these things in. It's not like you do this and then I gotta wait and I gotta do this. Don't regiment yourself in that way. You can do a really good meditation from Lamrim Chenmo or a liberation palm of your hand, and you can weave some of these things. And we've already done some of that in our meditations in the class. We did a little bit of bodhicitta, refuge taking, a little bit of human rebirth. We did Vajrasattva purification. You can weave these things inside. Just a thought. It doesn't have to be long. And like Geshe-la says, in the beginning do 5 minutes, 10 minutes. When you feel good, finish. Get up and go. Don't fall asleep when it starts to get dull. That's not the way to do it. Leave it at a good place so you want to come back to it again. Okay? So it's, when you put it in words, it seems like a lot of things. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you really put it together, it's not a lot. In the beginning, when you're learning, maybe it feels that way. It's no different than when you drive first time to somebody's house. Where do I turn? What do I do? Oh, that's a McDonald's. Oh, that's what I do. You go through that. Next time you go, it's you're there, and it's like, oh, wow, it was only 10 minutes. Right? Once you know it, it becomes in your psyche. Yeah, it goes into your psyche. So let's look at some bodhicitta phrases. I love these things. When you open the door, when you're closing the door, getting off the cushion, you can have these phrases. This is not a requirement. It's another tool that you can try to work with your mind in a positive way. So when you open the door, may I open the door to enlightenment for others? You know? When I take the elevator myself, I sometimes think, oh, I'm going to the upper realms. Right? And so it's kind of little things you can do like that. When the elevator door closes, I always think renunciation. Let the samsara door close. Let me be free. So little things like that can kind of make it a little fun with you, you know, can have fun with it. Then closing the door, may all the doors to the lower realms be shut forever. Right? I'm sealing all the doors to the suffering and rebirths. Get off the cushion. May I bring everybody up from the lower realms. The one I really like is while driving the car. You know, this is Mahayana. So we have Hinayana, Mahayana, and Vajrayana. Yana means vehicle. Okay? Hinayana is considered the lower practice. Mahayana is considered the greater practice. And Vajrayana is a tantric practice. So these are three vehicles. So when it says think, may I guide all beings to the great vehicle. May I bring everybody to the practice. To teach. So they can learn Buddha Dharma. Great little things like that you can do. When you go in the car, when you sit down, when you go in the house, when you go to your work, when you sit down to eat, little word or two triggers a positive thought. You can have fun with it. Okay? So, and remind yourself once in a while that you are on that journey. We started this class by saying that establishing a daily practice is just one piece of the pie. The entire lamrim is your journey. Stages to the path. Step by step by step. Right? Don't we go, when we go to New York, you want to see your map, how far it is. If you reach Baltimore Tunnel, you want to know how many tolls you have to pay. And you come to Harlem or Hoboken, you still have Lincoln Tunnel to go through. How long will it take? We do this. We check all the time. Again, when you are on this roadmap of your journey to becoming Buddha, check. And I've mentioned to you a couple of times, and I'll show you the page numbers in a few minutes. Do a glance meditation. It's on page, I think, 137 or so. Or Foundation of All Good Qualities. It's very short, but it walks through every piece of Lambrim in a very concise way. It reminds you of things. Where are you in this journey? Right? When you see the entire picture and you know, I still am going to work on this, I still have some concerns here, I'm going to really look deeper into this, I'm going to talk to Geshe La about that, oh, he's teaching that next Wednesday, I'm going to attend that. So you kind of know where you are and you're going deeper into it. So kind of think about that. And obviously, you know, we have the two books we talk about all the time, is The Stages of the Path of Enlightenment or The Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand. If I were you, and if you're serious, those are the two books I would read and slowly and steadily try to go step by step. Even looking at the context, you will see the Lamrim. You'll see teach how to teach, guru devotion, precious human rebirth, like impermanence and death, boom, karma. It goes right through the path. And those are the topics and meditations in the book. But they get into details with background, historical perspective, who said it, when it was done, what happened. So you get a really great picture. So keep that in mind. What I'm trying to do here is going through a really glance, but also connecting the dots of what you do and when you do and how you do it. And you make your own little pathway. Okay? I have to say this, I have to show this slide again. And don't remember, a lot of things we talk about, obscurations and hindrances and how I'm going to change my negative and the life is suffering. But remember, you're working towards the biggest, greatest happiness of all, becoming a Buddha yourself. And that's what it's about, qualities of Buddhas. You will be omniscient, you will become omnipotent. And the idea, just think about wisdom that knows exactly what and how, where and when, and who, with capacity to do what needs to be done to perfectly benefit all beings. That's your capability. And we can all become Buddhas. That's ultimate happiness, guys, if you want to put it bluntly. And you must think about this. You must really understand it, think about it, dive into it, and understand what that means even. Okay? You already know from very quick, first or second class, Lama Zopa Rinpoche gave a very quick overview of what you do in the morning, what you do in the evening. So just to, you know, you do your preliminary prayers in the morning. You first of all get up and do your motivation or think bodhicitta. Then you do your preliminary prayers, some prostrations. Okay, we talk about 35 Buddha prostrations, or you may want to just at least do the three prostrations and start with your practice. Do a little bit of Guru Yoga. This is not the entire book of Guru Yoga. There are paragraphs you can do. Okay, and we'll talk about that. Do a little Lambrim prayer, and then you have mantras you recite. So if you're practicing Shakyamuni Buddha, then you can say Tayata Mune Mune Maha Mune Soha. If you're doing Tara, is nothing, no different, same. They're all emanations of Buddha, but there are definitely connections made. You can say Om Tari Tu Tari Ture Soha. Right? Same thing. Then you go about your duties, and you do those phrases we talked about, put the Lambrim glasses on, do some virtuous activities, be kind to yourself, to others. You come home, do your normal activities, but then you may want to read a little Lambrim, or you may want to do prostrations, but really Vajrasattva practice is a wonderful thing to do in the evening. You can kind of check your whole day, good things you've done, things that didn't work out. And then what you do is, remember the four R's, the four opponent powers, guys? You learned that in the karma class. What is the first one? Regret, right? One is regret. It doesn't matter how you put it. Regret is one. So if you've done something, not a guilt trip. It's not poor me, I'm so sad. None of that. It happened, it's over. I will not do it again. At least for another day. Start small. Don't overpromise. Right? Start small and work to it. That's a wonderful way. It releases you. Right? Then the next thing, one is regret, then what is the next one? Reliance or remedy. Okay? Your remedy is what? If you took something from somebody, stole something, borrowed something and never returned, give it back. Right? And do antidotes. Be generous if you're taking, if you're miser. Okay? You can confront it in many different ways, but you are making, you're mending it. Right? Then you, of course, rely on teachings of Lam Rim, teachers. So you kind of bring your practice back and saying, yeah, I should be careful. I have a habit of doing that. And I now realize it. And it hurts people. And maybe I should do it. So you work on that. And don't forget in the end you resolve. You make a resolve that maybe I'll really work on this. And maybe this today for the half a day I will see if I can stay away from that kind of thought. Work on it. That's resolve. And one of the venerables added a fifth one called rejoice. Don't forget to rejoice. If you had a good day, you did something good, and you were successful, even with the 4 hours, and you did some purification practice, be happy you did it. Right? So that's a wonderful opponent. So that's how you do prostrations to 35 confession Buddhas or Vajrasattva. You take the 4 hours and you think about those things and then do the practice to purify it. Okay? It's a wonderful practice. And then dedicate, dedicate, dedicate. You want to dedicate. Motivation and dedication. Open the book, close the book, but you leave it out there. Wonderful practice. And then happy mind, happy sleep. Go back in the lap of your guru or teacher or Buddha and have a good night's sleep. Again, it seems when you put it in words, a lot of things. But if you think about it very carefully, it's not. You sit here in 15 minutes, how many thoughts you have? You can create from these little snippets for yourself and little practice, and then after a while, it's automatic. It starts to work. It really does work. And it's okay to take a break. Shake it up a little bit sometimes. It's okay to read something different and not do something else. You know, don't get superstitious, only bound by something. Release it. Look at it from different angles. You know, sometimes go away for a while. Come back to it again. But slowly weave it into your system. Remember the word? Soak it in. Rub it and soak it in slowly. Make it an experience. That's the whole point of this practice. So, for those taking this class, this is an important slide, and not only for those, but the certification, but even those that are actually established in the practice. We went through this, and you should pay attention to this. Okay, the preparatory practices. So now you've gotten up, you've done your motivation, you've had your cup of coffee, for those who love coffee, like I do. So that's why I give that example. And then you want to go and now say, I'm going to sit down for a few minutes and do my practice. Okay? That moment, I would suggest to you, look at your clock. If you have to be at work at some place, put a thought in it, saying, okay, next 15 minutes, nothing is going to come in my way. I'll do this. Then you start with cleaning the place, setting up your altar type thing. Then you offer some flowers. Some people may do elaborate and offer bowls, right? 7 or 8 bowls, okay? And you should learn about those things. What is, you say those words, argam, padyam, pushpe, dupe, aloke, all these things, but all it is you offering the water. Is it too small? Oh. So you offer the water to wash your hands and feet. You offer flowers. You offer beautiful smells. So think about it. Remember the example when somebody's coming to your home, how we go vacuum, clean up, hide things, put it nicely, put a little music on, a little spray, very similar. You're calling teachers and Buddhas to your home. So your mind should be like that. Pure mind, pure teachers are coming, you're developing your merit field, offer the best you can. And remember, even if you have one flower, mentally you can multiply it. I visualize an orchid, a gardenia, and a rose in my mind sometimes, and I think about daffodils, lilies, and then I think if there was a whole field of that, different colors, beautiful smell, just waving in the wind, I can just offer that. You just made that offering, even though you put one flower there. So think very pure, think grandiose, think large. What's the limit? Don't limit your mind. Make it big. Right? Then you sit down on the cushion. Now you're preparing for meditation. All this is preparation for meditation. Right? So you sit in the nice meditation posture, calm abiding, take a couple of breaths, keep your mind nice and settled. And then what happens is you go for refuge to the triple gem, to the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly, right? And what do we say in those words? I go to refuge until I'm enlightened. That's the path. To the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly or Sangha, the teachers, and the people who support those Sangha. Okay? And what do we say after that? Who wants to complete? By virtue of my marriage practice and other perfections, may I become a Buddha. And why? To benefit all sentient beings. Just four lines, but got everything in it, isn't it? And you take refuge in it, just like a mother, a child goes to mother for refuge. Just like we take an umbrella when a few drops come, you go and take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. That's refuge. Now you develop bodhicitta. So you sit down and you do, may all sentient beings be happy and have causes of happiness, right? May all sentient beings be free from suffering and causes of suffering. We say those things, four lines, four immeasurables. So you develop a bodhicitta, and if you can't think of everybody, it's a wish you can develop. Think of somebody you care for or somebody who's passed away that you loved. Start there. Start with yourself. Then go slowly and expand it and create compassionate mind. Okay, so now you've done that. And then you're going to sit down and now you're going to really start to invoke the merit field. You're thinking your Buddhas, your teachers, you can invite your loved ones even sitting there. It's nothing wrong in visualizing everybody in front of this beautiful merit field. And then the next thing you want to do is do the seven limb prayer. Okay, and if you go to the right hand side, I will pay attention to those words, and also in the red, when you're prostrating, this is now you're sitting in the cushion, so you're mentally prostrating. The three things we do when we first come in, but you're mentally doing it. Om Namo Manjushriye Namo Sushriye Namo Tamashriye Soha. Right? And then making offerings. I offer all things actual and imagined. Make it large. So the first prostrating is a remedy to pride. When you humble and prostrate, you're taking the arrogance out of you. Making offerings is a remedy to miserliness. You're giving, not taking. Confession, when you say, you know, I declare all my negative actions. You're really a remedy to, I can read it here. Let me see it here. Or you see it here. Remedy to negative karma and disturbing thought. Actually, confession. And then rejoicing is remedy to jealousy. Don't forget to rejoice. Rejoice in others' happiness. It's a tough one too. Next door neighbor is building something bigger than yours. You're like, oh, I wonder what he's doing, you know? What is she doing? Our mind is bizarre how it does. It competes like that. Why can't you be happy for the person? Think, oh, that's beautiful. It's tough, but you work on those things. Then you request teachers to stay. Okay? And why? Because they teach you, so you're removing your ignorance. And then to teach again, you're again remedy to avoiding dharma, so you want dharma in your life. and then dedicating. And it says here, it is a remedy to heresy. And what that means is mistaken wrong views. You know, if you are people who are rejecting karma, the way life is, the precious human rebirth, the three jewels, things that you've been trying to work on it, if it kind of makes you understand it better and you really get conviction in it. So that's why it's good to do dedication. Then you offer mandala. And mandala is a theoretical universe that you offer. There's an entire practice on that, actually. And you can get as deep as you want, or there are two paragraphs you can read. You know, this ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, right? Adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this is a Buddha field and offer it. You can say these words, and immediately you can think of a wonderful place and a wonderful dimension that you're offering. Think of a place you would be like, you would like to be when you are a Buddha. Offer that. So a couple of options for your morning practice. Very quickly we'll go through this. Okay. Motivation, offerings, daily practice of Shakyamuni, doing your Chenrezig mantra or your medicine Buddha or your Tara mantra, dedication, right? You can do that as an option. Here was another option. You can do a couple of offerings, you can do water bowls, daily practice of Buddha, you can do prostrations. It just gives you different options. Again, you can create your own, but there are some very specific things you can do. And all during the day, try to keep that bodhicitta mind going. Okay. Check in once in a while, see where you are at. Put those ulam rim glasses again. Think about the eight verses of thought transformation where Keshela talks about. The one that sticks out to me all the time and he talks about is number three. You know, it says, vigilant, the moment a delusion appears in my mind, endangering myself and others, I shall confront and avert it without delay. So whenever a negative thought comes to my mind, I said, I gotta be vigilant, this gotta go. And I try to get it out of my system. It takes a little time, but it goes away. Okay, evening practice, again you can recite Vajra Satwad, Heart Sutra, page 76 by the way. Heart Sutra is one of the most profound teaching of Buddha on emptiness. There's entire teachings on it and classes on it. Wonderful, wonderful reading. Again, the Vajra Satwa mantra, go to sleep again nicely and you're done with the evening. So different options. You can do other things. Golden Light Sutra, Sangata Sutra, reflect on the day, reflect on the negatives and purify. And what are these? You can download this free of charge from FPMT. And here's, if you're interested later on, come here and I will explain you what each one of those is. I have some things here if you want to take a quick look at it. These are not too long. One King of Prayers is long, it's 10 pages. But Samantabhadra's offering is mind-blowing. But they say there are two paragraphs we always do. What is that? One is, just as the brave Manjushri and Samantabhadra too have realized as things are, I too dedicate my merits in the best way so that I may follow their perfect example. That's from King of Prayers. There are two of those paragraphs that said that once you say that, it's like saying the entire King of Prayers. Remember this, you are accumulating merit when you feel sometimes, no matter what you do, your energy is low. You know, you can start to do good things like, you know, help out, go to the center, do something like, for some people, if you're home, set up the table. It will re-energize you again. You meet with people, you start talking, you're doing something positive, and all of a sudden you're back to normal again. Okay, so you can do some activities, good activities like that, be virtuous. be kind to somebody, and you re-energize yourself. Sometimes you read and nothing is going in your head. You need purification practice. Do some prostrations or do some Vajrasattva practice. In the end, also heartfelt request. Remember, the heartfelt request is to your teachers to teach you. If you don't have a teacher, you don't have a guru, you know, what you're trying to do really is, there's an absolute guru, Buddha, and your absolute nature of your mind. You can make a real heartfelt request. You're basically saying, stay with me. Allow me to learn. You're putting the seeds. You're basically yearning. If you look at the foundation of all good qualities, that's how Lama Tsongkhapa wrote that whole thing. He's saying to Manjushri, please bless me. He talks about each area of the Lamrim and says, please bless me to understand this. That's how you kind of do. You're saying, please stay with me. What are you really doing? You're connecting with your own mind and saying, you really want to learn this. You really want it. Okay? And also, if you have one-on-one relationship with the teacher, even better, right, wonderful, you can always say, hey, like go to Geshe-la and say, Geshe-la, I really want to learn this. I really want to understand this. He may say, come down next Sunday, or maybe he sometimes will come here and he'll be teaching that. Right? So there's a couple of ways to do heartfelt request. So I won't go into a lot of the details here, we just talked about it. You can do so many good things to accumulate merits. You can do purification practices. You can make heartfelt requests. Also remember, guys, once in a while, take a retreat. Get away from everything. And this is when you can re-energize yourself. You can think about all of those things once in a while. And allow yourself space. If you go to LOP or any other retreat, even if it's a day, 2 days, sometimes not enough. You need like a couple of days away from no phones, no TV. Nobody connecting with you through email. Very difficult for some people. Right? But it's good to do that. It kind of readjusts your mind and you will go deeper into your practice. Okay? So kind of think about that. Quickly, for those taking certifications and not, let's see how much you've learned during this class. I want to make sure that you know the material. So if I were to ask you the first questions, what are the six preparatory practices and what is their function? Anybody? Short answer, doesn't matter.
I think the first one is you have to clean the place. You're supposed to like sweep if you're doing frustrations.
Good. Then second one? Offerings.
Offerings, and I don't remember the order. Then you have to, because I probably do it in the wrong order. So there's the mandala offering, the short mandala offering is an offering. Then there's invoking the merit field. There's a seven limb prayer. I have like a guru thing I say, but that wasn't up there. Refuge in bodhicitta is at the beginning. And then there's like, I don't know if you said blessing the offerings, but I do that. But
so let's walk through it perfectly. You go in the room, mm-hmm. You clean it out.
So I clear it out. And then
you set up the altar, you clear it out, whatever. Then you do offerings.
Then I do bless the offerings.
Yeah. Yes. Now you sit down on the cushion, okay? And you're going to prepare for meditation by first setting up refuge and bodhicitta.
Refuge and bodhicitta. And then
correct.
Four immeasurables.
Right, all of those things.
Yes.
You invoke the merit field.
Right.
Right? And then you offer the seven limb prayer,
mm-hmm.
And then you make requests, and then you do mandala offering. Done. Actually, it's part of the Lamrim, the seven limb prayer is also mandala offering, so it's part of that, seven limb prayer. And then when you do the seven limb prayer, what does each thing, what do you do in seven, what are the seven limbs?
So the first one is reverently, I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind, and so that's the, you just told me that's the antidote to pride.
Perfect.
And, so prostration is the first one. And present clouds of every type of offering. So there's the offering.
Remedy two.
Miserliness.
Perfect.
Present clouds of every type of offering. I shall mentally transformed. I confess all negativities accumulated since beginningless time.
Yep. Remedy to negative karma and disturbing thoughts.
And rejoice in the virtues of all holy and ordinary beings.
Okay, that is a remedy to jealousy.
Mm-hmm. And you pause right there to rejoice. And then then you request that they stay for the teaching. Sorry. Let's
see. Yeah.
I lost my train of thought. Rejoice in the virtues of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until cyclic existence ends. That's requesting that they stay and teach.
And turn the wheel of Dharma for all living beings. Teach me.
Teach me and then
I
dedicate
them
there.
Perfect. Okay. How do you know what meditation is to do when structuring your daily practice? So somebody says you should do daily practice, daily meditation. Where do you begin?
So I have my little routine I go through, but then I also have if something comes to mind, then you know I can work on that.
If you think about the classes, we keep on referring to the meditation manual, the liberation of palm of your hands, Lam Rim Chen Mo. It is made with meditation in mind for every subject. It's written in a way, if you look at the liberation palm of your hand, when you're reading it, it's actually like a meditation. So those are, and then you do a glance, see what you want to do, so precious human rebirth, impermanence and death. Just read through it, sit down, contemplate on it, till you make it happen for yourself. Right? So those are your meditation manual. Okay, good. What are the three main activities you can do to overcome obstacles?
So I do the Tara 21 practices, 21 praises, singing that, to overcome obstacles and ask her to help me. That's the main thing I do. I'm not sure what the other two are.
So we talk about accumulating merit, purification, part of the practice you're doing, and making heartfelt requests.
Okay.
Those three things, remember those things, okay? And then can you describe some activities you can do in between sessions as part of your effective daily practice? Why is it important?
So you want to do it all day long because then you really like integrate it into your life. So anything that you do to help other people is good through the day. So volunteering or just helping other people with things or like praying for other people, being generous when you see someone who needs something, that kind of thing.
Right, putting long dim glasses on.
I don't tend to think of all the things like opening the doors, but maybe I can start
but
doing
all of those things, right?
Yeah.
In between session is continuously working on your mind. When you go to the grocery store, you can be kind. You could put a long dim glasses saying, if you see a person really struggling, saying, I am so glad I am able to practice. But this is what will happen to all of us. So let me be urgent. Let me learn. You can turn this around in a very positive way. So those Lam Rim glasses are important. So all right answers there. But the idea is to continuously do virtuous actions of body, speech and mind during the day and keep your practice alive. Right? Okay? Wonderful. What is Lama Zopa Rinpoche's advice to discovering Buddhism students in terms of how to practice in the morning and evening? Just general.
Yeah, so I read that he said at first, you know, as soon as you wake up, it's good if you can remember as soon as you wake up to set your attitude properly. And then he wants you to do the practices we talked about, the preliminary practices and the I do the prostrations in the morning. And I think I read that, but I saw you had them at night.
No, it's in the mornings.
It's in the mornings.
It's in the mornings. Oh, and you can also do it in the evening.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not a hard, fast rule, right? But the idea is you do prostrations in the morning and in the evening. He's divided into morning and evening sessions.
Yeah.
So he says, get up in the morning, set your motivation, do your prostrations, do a little bit of Lam Rim meditation, and he gives you do a little guru yoga practice and a little bit of emptiness. Blah. Come in the evening, you want to come and do your prostration, read a little more Lam Rim, do Vajrasattva, do prostrations, do your food yoga and sleep yoga and go to sleep, right? So at least you can picture it. How you do what you do is up to you, but it gives you good guidelines at what he advises us to do as a teacher. I also want you to know that you, through this class, completed every single meditation. We'll complete the final one today. But you actually did the Shakyamuni Buddha practice with single-pointed concentration and refuge prayer. You also went through Shakyamuni Buddha practice with extensive seven-limb prayer and mantra recitation. And every meditation we did, we weaved the previous one in it. At one point we did everything, we did precious human rebirth, but we already started with refuge. Then we did the four immeasurables, then we did the precious human rebirth, like we built on it. Meditation 4, we did the Vajrasattva purification practice. And today we will be concluding with a meditation and mantra chanting and dissolution meditation. We'll do that. I just wanted you to know, and this next slide, I think if you want to take a snapshot, for every practice that we are suggesting, I've put the page numbers for you. And they're divided into preliminary practice, daily prayers, Lam Rim prayers, thought transformation, and dedication prayers. Okay, this is in the Golden Prayer Book. So if you're searching for what do I do, where do I go, where is it written, at least this makes it a little bit easier.
I have a quick question, Hemant. I missed the last two remedies of the seven-limb prayer for the remedy for requesting teachings, and then the last one, I guess.
Dedication.
Meditate. Yes.
It's called heresy. It's a remedy to heresy. In other words, having wrong views. I can give you, when you come back, I can give you more details on it. Having wrong views or afflicted views, not trusting karma, not trusting three jewels, that kind of stuff. Contradictory to what we teach or learn or Buddha's path. Any questions? So can, before we do meditation, do you feel like you kind of get the bridge, morning, in between, evening sessions, in the Golden Prayer Book, looking at Lam Rim Chenmo, meditations? Now you kind of know what practices are like, and then you can develop and get deeper and deeper into it as much as you want. There's a lot more, but you can get deeper. But at least this gives you a great foundation. And even if you do this enough, sometimes simple is powerful, because it means more and more and more to your mind. So nothing wrong. You don't have to do so much, but at least get these basic things in your mind. And finally, if you have questions, you can come back to me. Now, we have 15 minutes. Hopefully, if it's 15 or 20 minutes, if you feel like getting up and going, no issue. But we're going to do this meditation, okay? So please, hang in there, or if you feel like you have to go someplace, no problem at all. Because this is the meditation 5. It's concluding meditation for this particular session. To start, make your spine straight. Now remember, Shakyamuni Buddha was already there. If you remember from the beginning of the class, make him appear again in your mind. He's already there, because we invoked him earlier. But we'll just remember that presence of the pure enlightenment. All our teachers, all guides, all protectors, all merging into aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha. In our heart, we have the sincere request to always be guided and protected by this energy, and especially that we ourselves might quickly be transformed into an enlightened one ourselves, perfectly what is needed to help others. And wishing to be free of all that which prevents us from attaining enlightenment. And wishing to receive all blessings of realizations of the path. We make that request to Shakyamuni Buddha to bless our minds. So he comes to the crown of our head. And as we recite the mantra, we we visualize a purifying stream of white nectar and light showering down on us and removing all impurities, all negativities and mental veils, all obstacles to generating the realization of the path within our mind stream. Tayatha Om Mune Mune Maha Mune Soha. A final purifying stream comes down, cleansing our body and mind. All negatives are washed away, and our body and mind are calm and clear like crystal. As we recite the mantra again, golden light and beams of nectar pour forth from Shakyamuni Buddha's body and mind, blessing our mind stream with all the qualities and realizations of enlightenment. Tayatha Om Mune Mune Maha Mune Soha. Shakyamuni Buddha then melts into the stream of golden light, enters the crown of our head, and descends to our heart, becoming inseparably mixed with our body and mind. Our body and mind become pervaded by golden light, and we are clarified in the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha, a fully enlightened one. From the wish to benefit all beings, we recite the mantra again, sending out stream of golden light from our heart through every pore of our body, reaching out to all living beings, to all the different realms of the existence, blessing their minds, freeing them from suffering and bringing them into perfect happiness, transforming all environments into pure lands. Tayatha Om Mune Mune Maha Mune Soha. All beings and their environments melt into this golden light, which then absorbs into our own hearts. Our body and mind are pervaded by golden light. We dissolve from above and below into the place of our hearts, becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. Until we completely disappear, no I to be found anywhere. Now from this state, from a wish to benefit others, our mind takes the form of a shaft of golden light. This grows in size, taking the shape and form of our own bodies, until we arise as pure light beings. Abiding in the world solely for the purpose of benefiting others, this is me. And then we dedicate all the positive energy from all the effort that we've made over this course in this very extensive way that Lama Zopa Rinpoche has written for us. Here's the dedication. As a result of all my merits of the three times, and the merits of all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and sentient beings, may the altruistic wish to achieve enlightenment be generated in my mind, and in the minds of all sentient beings without even a second's delay. Amen. And may that altruistic wish that has already been generated be increased. Whatever suffering sentient beings experience may it ripen in me. Whatever merit and resulting happiness I have accumulated may it ripen upon others. And in the land of encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and goodness, all-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, that is His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Please remain until the samsara ends. May the glorious Guru's lives be long and stable. Due to the merits of the three times created by me, by others, and by Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, may we all be able to meet perfectly qualified Mahayana virtuous friends in all of our lives. From our side, may we always see them as enlightened, and may we always perform only actions most pleasing to the holy mind of virtuous friends, and may we always be able to fulfill their holy wishes immediately. And because of these merits, may my actions never cause even the slightest harm to any sentient being. Instead, may they bring only the greatest benefit, whatever suffering or happiness or happy life I experience. And like Lama Tsongkhapa, may I be able to offer extensive benefits, equaling the limitless sky, to all sentient beings and the teachings of the Buddha, from now on in all future lives, by having all the qualities of Lama Tsongkhapa within me. And just as the brave Manjushri and Samantabhadra realize things as they are, I dedicate all my virtues in the best way, that I may follow after them. And whatever dedication the victorious ones gone to bliss of the three times have admired as the best, I shall also perfectly dedicate in the same way all these roots of virtue, so that I may perform good works. Due to the merits which are empty from their own side, accumulated over the three times by me, by the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas, may I, who am empty from my own side, achieve the state of Shakyamuni Buddha's enlightenment, which is empty from its own side, and lead all sentient beings, who are also empty from their own side, to the state as quickly as possible by myself alone. And because of past, present, and future merit, created by me and the Buddhas, Bodhisattvas, and sentient beings, may I, my family, disciples, and all sentient beings be able to actualize completely in this very lifetime. Lama Tsongkhapa's path of unified sutra and tantra, which is pure like refined gold. May these pure teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa spread in all directions and flourish forever. Because of all the merits of the three times created by me and all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and other sentient beings, may there be no wars, famine, disease, quarreling, fighting, or unhappy minds. May there be great prosperity. May everything needed be easily obtained. May all human beings in the world be guided by spiritual leaders teaching only Dharma, and may everyone enjoy happiness of Dharma. Until samsara ends, may the teaching that benefits not be moved away by the winds of evil superstitions. May the whole world always be filled with people who have understood and found stable faith in the true teachings, And may I pass the time, day and night, thinking and examining by what means this teaching can spread in the minds of all sentient beings and me. Final dedication. Also spending a moment in silence to send out all this positive energy to those we know of at this time who are especially in need. May they receive all the benefits of this effort. May their minds abide in peace. May they be free of fear, and may they have only happiness and the causes of happiness in their minds. And may anyone who hears this teaching, think about this teaching, reads this teaching, or remembers this teaching, or comes into contact in any way with these teachings, in that moment, may they be freed of all suffering. May they achieve their highest goals and quickly become exactly what is needed for the benefit of all. Wonderful slide here. It's just so fortunate to have the teachings of Buddha, the blessings from Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Kensho Rinpoche, Geshe-la's teacher, Geshe-la, Geshe Sanpo, and you can see that we've been receiving authentic teachings through our tradition, and we could stop, put this slide up to just show you how wonderful these teachers are to us. And I want to also show you the last slide here. This is Lama Zopa Rinpoche. So hopefully you've learned a lot in this class. You will establish the practice. You will continue to practice and incorporate Dharma into your life. And I'm available for any questions you may have. And this concludes our Module 6, 8, establishing the daily practice. And so I want to thank you all. And thank you, our teachers. Hey, thank you.
And completion cards can be picked up. There's hard copies outside the door. It's also online under the Discovering Buddhism materials. And join us for the next Discovering Buddhism module, Monday, March 2nd. Thank you.